Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Late Night Vision Show. This is episode number 155. My name is Jason Robertson. I am the owner of Outdoor Legacy, and we specialize in selling all kinds of night vision and thermal optics for hog and coyote hunters. Thanks for joining us again this week. As always, I've got my co-host Hans from the Hans East Texas YouTube channel. What is going on tonight?
Man, it is it's a good night. It's been a good past week since we put out another show, and I'm gonna tell you, the hog activity is heating back up. Seems like there's been quite a few hogs out running around lately, still doing some coyote hunting, but with the hogs being so busy now, I was doing a bunch of coyote hunting, and now the hogs are out, so I've been doing a lot more hog hunting. But behind me, if you're listening on iTunes, you can check out the YouTube video. I've got my Pulsar Thermion XP50 mounted on a Ruger Predator 6.5 Creedmoor bolt action rifle. And Jason, it is such a fun setup to shoot, you know, having that bolt action rifle, just shoots so smooth. And with a dead air Sandman TI suppressor, I mean, it takes so much recoil out of the shooting, and sound, sounds great, but it's just a sweet shooting setup. I've been really excited about getting it together here, and I've just sighted in the rifle last week and got a chance to shoot a hog with it the same night. And man, it's fun shooting a bolt action rifle every now and then. You know, you and I, we shoot obviously ARs and AR pistols and stuff, but strapping a thermal on a bolt action rifle is just, I don't know, it just feels something nostalgic about it.
It's a different, yeah, you're taking the old and bringing in the new. Yeah.
Yeah. So nice. I bought, you know, this has nothing to do with the show, but we're going to be talking about five life hacks for hog hunting, or five hog hunting life hacks. So some tricks and things that Jason and I do when we're hunting and trying to be more successful at hunting. And a lot of people have asked some of the things that we do. So we're going to give our secrets out. But anyway, I bought this Ruger Predator 6.5 Creedmoor. I wanted just something I could carry around. That was the one thing about bolt action rifles that was difficult for me, is they're usually at least 20 inches long. They're not easy to carry. They're heavy, bulky, all that stuff. Well, I bought this rifle and cut it down from a 20-inch barrel down to a 16-inch barrel. So it's a 16-inch 6.5 Creedmoor. Ruger Predator, it's one of my favorite bolt action rifles because it comes with a one-piece Picatinny rail on top, standard, and it comes standard with threaded barrel. So, I mean, two things that are must for me that it comes with a bolt action rifle. But they don't make it in a 6.5 Creedmoor, and I wanted that caliber. I mean, it's just, I love the caliber, love to coyote hunt with it, love to hog hunt with it. But they, Ruger Predator, they didn't make it in a short barrel rifle like that. So I took it to a buddy of mine, Class 3 Machining. If you look for him on Instagram, he said, yep, I'll hook you up, bring it over. So he threaded, cut the barrel down, re-threaded it for me. And now I've got, which, you know, is pretty cool. It's a modified, one-of-kind, unique rifle, and it's perfect for night hunting. It's perfect for coyote hunting, hog hunting, and easy to carry. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. You can tell how excited I am about it. I'm sitting here.
You are excited. I didn't even know you had any Creedmoor ammo anymore. I thought you were everything all in on Grendel, but you must have been holding out some Creedmoor ammo there under your bed.
We could do a whole, you know, Jason, you and I could do a whole another show about finding ammo, because that, along with scope questions, is one of the most a frequent question that I get asked. How are you finding ammo? I mean, when we talk to people on the phone, they're asking about scopes, and it's like, hey, one more question before I let you off the phone. How are you finding ammo? Where are you going to find ammo? we don't have any tricks for you to tell you the truth.
Well, we have a trick. Well, it's a good buddy.
Jason recently found a source, a buddy of his that has been helping us out a lot. And I'm going to tell you, this guy has come in clutch for us finding ammo. But
he has. And I'm going to be clear before you start calling me.
Yeah.
He's just a dude buying retail. Okay. So he's not wholesaling this. No. I can't help you. I mean, he has just gone to work, and it has been feet on the pavement for this guy. Yeah. He has literally been going to stores and just getting his ammo in an area where there seems to be more ammo than there is where
else. Oh, yeah. And a great guy, a good friend of yours. This is not a, I guess it is kind of a special deal that we have with him, but it's not like a lot of people think because of what we do that we have special ammo sources and deals and we're getting all this.
We did when it was on the shelf.
We did. Yeah. We
could walk buy it wholesale then. Exactly. Yeah. We have wholesale accounts. And those wholesale accounts now, it's the same people selling to the gun shops.
Yeah.
And I'm way down the list from those gun shops because I'm not trying to buy it because I don't do it for a living. I want those guys to get their ammo and feed their family trying to sell it. But yeah, we don't have any special tricks other than just pound the pavement, I guess. Yeah. It's tough. And I'm gonna give you my life hack, okay? Hans says this show is gonna be the 5 hog hunting life hacks. Here is my life hack for ammo. Search for it, and when you find it and it's a decent price, okay, forget what it cost 2 years ago. Exactly. That's not coming back. When you find it and you can buy in bulk, buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, I found a deal the other day, 1,000 rounds of 9mm ammo, that it's not a screaming deal. It's a fair deal. Boom. I got on there, 1,000 rounds, bought it. I mean, you can't think about it because if you wait, it's going to be gone. And then you're going to wish that you could have got it that price. So there's my tip. My life hack is when you find it, buy it and buy all you can afford to get and then just forget about it because you're going to want it and you're going to wish you bought it.
You're right. If you can find it, buy it. I know it's hard to, for Grendel, you've been seeing it $40. $4 a round for some places at Grendel ammo, which is just stupid. But one thing that I was fortunate in doing, I was buying it, buying Grendel ammo and Creedmoor ammo, but more Grendel, about a year ago. Anytime I saw it on the shelf, I'd buy as much as I could. And so I had already had a pretty good stock. And then, and Jason, you were my source for ammo, like you said, because we had, you had, set up, through some distributors.
Yeah, I got wholesale accounts.
And you ran dry, so that meant my source ran dry. So there am I out pounding the street, just like everybody else. But, that's kind of we're not doing anything different than what everybody else out there is doing, but we do have a guy that has been helping us in another area that obviously Grendel is not as popular where he lives because he's been able to find it.
Yeah, and I'll say one thing, and we could do a whole show talking about this, and I don't think this is going to get better anytime soon. And I'm not suggesting that people go out and pay $4 a round for Grendel ammo. We may all be there one day. I hope not. But I think that there is a new normal of kind of what stuff is worth today, and I think you've got to be willing to jump on it. And this is the thing that I know Hans and I have found over and over. Last August, I remember this because I was on vacation, and you had sent me a link or something to some Grendel ammo, like those.
Just being the good friend that I am,
the good friend that you are. They were like those Hornady Boattail Hollow Point 200 round ammo cases of it. And I remember we bought some of this stuff, and I think I bought like maybe 2 or 3 cases of it. It's like 600 rounds. And I remember like thinking, man, I ought to buy more. And it was normal prices for then, which were already getting a little bit higher.
Yeah, because I remember it was like, one ammo can I bought was $250. I remember thinking, I'm like, man, that's kind of expensive, but $250 for 200 rounds.
250
seems like a
deal. Now of Hornady. But I remember buying 2 or 3 cans of this and saying, I wonder if I ought to buy more. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is a little more, this is a little more than I should be paying. Right. And every time I do something like that, I look back and I go, Dad. Gummit, I wish I could go back and I'd buy 5,000 rounds at that price. So it's crazy. All right. Well, people are tired of hearing us gripe about ammo.
I don't think they are because I think they're sitting there trying to take notes because everybody out there right now is trying to find ammo. And no matter, I'll tell you what, if you shoot a 224 Valkyrie, you can find ammo all day long.
It's everywhere.
I think I'm just going to go build me a 224 Valkyrie just because I know I can find ammo.
Yeah, exactly. That or turtles with it.
Yeah, that or 7.62x39. I mean, that's still, I've been able to find that on the shelf at some sporting goods stores. But anyway, we're going to get into the five hog hunting life hacks. And these are things that Jason and I have done. Now, if you've listened to this show, gosh, from the very beginning, and a pre-congratulations, Jason, next week's show will be exactly 3 years. But if you've listened,
we make it that far.
And there's a lot of people out there that have. If you've listened the last 3 years, you probably will hear a lot of things on this list because we are, these aren't just things that we just started doing a month ago. These are things that we do that we've always done. And it, we feel like it's given us an edge. You know, not to say that there's not a lot of luck involved in hunting and just kind of being in the right spot at the right time. But these tricks will help you be more successful and increase your odds of being lucky, because luck is nothing more than just preparation and opportunity. So with that being said, we're going to kick off and go to the first one. And Jason, this goes way back. It does, because this is something that you kind of got me on. And also, you did murder one of my things that you're about to describe. I'll let you tell a story and then we can go on to the details. But yes.
I forgot about that. Okay. So pig pipes. We did a whole show about this way back. It had to be in our first, 15, 20 shows. It seems like it. I know it was way, way back when we first started this. Yeah. We did a whole show on pig pipes. And so if you're really, really interested, you can go back and find that show. What a pig pipe is, I'm going to just explain it generally, is a piece of 4-inch PVC pipe that can be of varying length, anywhere from 3-4. I know some people do them 5 foot, and that's pretty long.
I do about 4. I would say 4 to 6 feet, but yeah, I do mine at 4 feet. So four inches around and 4 foot long is usually what I do.
Yeah, and that's right. And you want this? You want the heavy wall PVC pipe. Yeah. And don't get like the little thin sewer pipe.
Yeah.
Get the heavy wall PVC pipe. And I 4 foot's logical because you got an 8 foot piece of pipe. All right. That just makes the most sense. Cut it off.
Yeah.
And you're going to basically buy the one end is going to be a solid cap. All right. You're going to put that over that end. The other end, you're going to want to buy a threaded adapter. So you're going to slip over the piece with the female threads and then buy the male threads that go on, that thread into there. And then there's a lot of different ways to do this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's one perfect way. I think you can go stand at the hardware store and figure out what will work best for you. Yeah. But you want to put some sort of an eye in the solid capped end that doesn't have not the screw on, the glued on piece.
Yeah.
And you're going to have that eye there. And ideally, if that eye is solid and doesn't spin because you put the nuts on the back, then you need to have a clip. One of those little, I don't know what you call it, but those little metal clips that goes in there, something that's got a swivel and spins.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, again, there's all kinds of opinions on how long you want this to be. You can do anywhere short from, 12 inches out to about 2 foot of chain or cable, steel cable. And then you want to go to something driven into the ground. Like I know some guys will cut off a T-post and drive that down, some kind of a stake, rebar, whatever it is. I've used augers. You can take those augers that are 16 inches and put like a broom handle or shovel handle and screw them down if the ground is either not too hard or not too soft. It's got to be enough that'll hold it in there. Yeah. And then again, so you got something that you got in the ground, but you want to have another swivel ring there. And what happens is you take this pipe and you drill holes in it. And Hans, I don't remember the size of those holes. We had that down at one point, and I know there's some differing opinions on that. To be honest, I'm the kind of guy that I just play with it. Yeah. I just drill. I start small and then work my way up. You don't want to get the holes too big. I don't drill that many either. Mm-hmm. Maybe like, you know, one on this side, roll it over, you know, a quarter, and then two down here, and then roll it over one here. So, you know, 4 to 5 holes is probably plenty. Again, play with this, you know, see what works best for you. And I say to try this on concrete, on a slab or something so that you can see. And you put corn in this, and as you roll it around, some corn will come out. And for those that don't understand, you know, you're going, okay, I have no idea what you do with this thing. You put it out there, the hogs find it, and they have to work to get it. So hogs, you know, use their nose to root and move things. They will move this, and corn will dribble out.
Yeah.
And then they will start rolling it. Well, they end up rolling it in a circle. That's where these swivels come in. Because if you just chain this thing up, they're going to get this thing tied up in a knot, and then they're going to have leverage, and they're going to break something off. Because a hog, they are not going to stop until something breaks. Yeah. I mean, they're going to push and push. So, again, you want this thing freely spinning on the ground where they can go in a circle. One thing that I've had a lot of guys say is that, you know, well, it's not putting out enough corn. And that's the fine line of how much corn you want coming out. It's got to be enough to interest the hog that he finds it. He can't roll it 4 times and one piece of corn come out. But if he rolls this thing, you know, one revolution and it put out 4 pounds of corn, he's going to be done in 2 revolutions.
Yeah, yeah.
So you need him to be able to work this thing for a long time.
So I do remember off the top of my head, the size holes that I use are 3/8 of an inch. And I do about 4 holes through this whole thing on different sides when it rolls. Mm-hmm. So what's the point? The point is to, first of all, keep the hogs interested long enough that they're going to stay at this bait hole that you have for a long period of time, you know, so they're not just gobbling up corn and being gone real quick. The second thing is to not just make it harder for the hogs to get the corn out, but it also makes it harder for everything to get the corn out. So if you just throw corn out on the ground, birds are going to get it, squirrels, raccoons, deer, everything. But if you put the corn in a pig pipe, what we call a pig pipe, it makes it, that corn will, that corn in that, in the pig pipe will last a lot longer than just throwing it out in on the ground or doing anything like that. So this is great for bait holes that you have that you can't go to every day or every other day to fill up, you know, to throw out corn. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not using deer feeders or anything like that, this is a, if you, and I will say this, if you're looking for ways to make a pig pipe, I actually made a video with my daughter, with my youngest daughter on the Hans, on the Hans ETX YouTube channel. Just search Hans ETX on YouTube, how to make a pig pipe. And the video will pop up. Her and I made a few of them that day, but we went through
forgot all about that. Those were good videos. Yeah, that's awesome.
So the whole instructions on exactly how to do it, we did that. And that video seems like a very, very long time ago, but it was probably just a couple years ago. But yeah, go check that out. That's the pig pipes. I will tell you this, why we thought that this was a life hack is because any bait hole or bait spot that I have has a pig pipe on it. No question. I always put a pig pipe on any property that I have that I'm trying to bring hogs in. So that we felt it important enough that we put it as number one. So
yeah, and I want to say a couple quick things about it, and we'll be done on the pig pipe. You know, like I said, Hans has got that video that with his daughter. Forgot about that, and then I know we have a whole show about it. But they are the places that I really, really use them. And I mean, I'm like Hans. If I'm trying to feed hogs in a place that I'm hunting, I've got a pig pipe on it. And what I like about it is a lot of the places that I'm hunting, they may be remote. They may be way back in the woods, back in a clearing, in a log set or an opening, or in the back of a pasture somewhere that I don't want to have to go down to and dump out corn every other day. Mm-hmm. This is something that I can do. And hopefully, depending on, you know, how big the pipe is and all these different things, It might last a week, might last 2 weeks, it might last 3 days, but no matter what, it's longer than if I dumped it on the ground.
Yeah.
And yeah. Even the coons. So I have to admit, I've got some coons that have college degrees and I've got some cameras on these things. And I figured out that these coons were actually like recruiting other coons. It started as like 1, 2, there's like 4 coons and they are standing in a line and they would push this thing in circles. They would stop. And then you get like pictures of them eating. And then here they go again, like teamwork, all on 3. And they'll push that thing around. But as bad as I hate those little suckers, if you'd have poured it on the ground, they'd have stayed there till it was gone.
Oh,
this
yeah,
at least takes them several nights. Now, I'm going to say one last thing about this. I know some guys that told me, and I'm not going to tell you not to do this, but I'm going to tell you why I don't. This sounds like a good trick, but I don't believe that it is. They take on the end where the cap is permanently glued on, and when they're building it, they put a compartment in there, okay? So you've got this dead space where corn can't go, and they put gravel in there. And so it's got the sound like the corn has. And that's the hogs like that. They hear it. They're hearing that something's happening. And, you know, they're pushing and something's falling out and they keep hearing it rolling.
Yeah.
And so one of the theories is that you put these rocks down in this compartment and they make that sound. So even when it's empty, they'll continue to push it and, you know, whatever. Well, here's my thought.
That's way deep.
It is way deep. It is, but I try to take it to the next level because hogs are smart. And in my opinion, you're teaching that hog to not push this because he's hearing it, but he's not getting any reward for it.
Right.
And he does that enough times, then he's going to get bored with it.
Yeah.
And so I don't like the idea personally. Right. I know there's going to be some guys that leave comments, say, no, it works great. And they may have a third level of thinking on why it does. But I mean, I really contemplated it at one point, but I was like, no, I'm teaching the hog when he hears that and he keeps pushing it, but he's not getting rewarded.
Right.
And so, you know, you want him to hear that sound, the corn fall out, and he gets the reward. So anyway, that's my 2 cents. Yep, pig pipes.
So pig pipes are awesome. You're right. The coons will come after them. They'll roll that thing. Deer will roll it. I've had cows roll pig pipes. So, I mean, animals are smart. They'll figure it out. But the hogs will come after it, and they'll stay interested. So the second, and this kind of goes along the same lines as the baiting, hog baiting. But anybody knows me knows that I'm a big fan of souring corn. Now, I like to sour corn for a couple different reasons. First of all, it's a less expensive way to bait for hogs and not have to go out and buy expensive hog baits, which hog baits are expensive. They don't last very long. There's some very good ones out there, but they just don't last long at all. So with baiting hogs, you can mix up a bunch of soured corn, smelly, good smelling corn. It'll last a long time. So what I do, how to make it first, and I also have probably several videos on YouTube, but on my YouTube channel, there's how to make hog bait or something like that. But I'm going to give you the ingredients here. So I've got them right here. I'm showing them on camera if you're listening on audio only. But you put it, this is a 2 liter. Yeah, this is a 2 liter bottle of just cheap strawberry soda. So the first thing you do, get a 5 gallon bucket, fill it up about 3/4 of the way with just deer corn, dried deer corn. You're going to put 2 liters of strawberry soda. You're going to put 2 boxes of just cheap, this is powdered strawberry Jell-O. Pour 2 boxes of those in there. And then this yeast, I pour, which is actually 3 packages, but it comes together as 1 package of this instant rise yeast. I just throw all that in a 5 gallon bucket. I fill the rest of it with water. You let it sit there, especially in the summer. It won't take that long to sour. It'll sour, ferment, start to get stinky and smelly. But that is the scent that I use, Jason, to pour over the pig pipe to give it that smell to start attracting mm-hmm. pigs to it from a long area away. So I fill the pig pipe up with dry deer corn. I mix up this sour corn, and I'll just take that sour corn and I'll just pour it along the top of that pig pipe just for the scent. All it takes is a week of just sitting in that bucket. And again, 2 liters of cheap strawberry soda, 2 packages of strawberry powdered Jell-O, and a package of instant rise yeast. Throw it all in the bucket, fill the rest of it with water, let it sit for a week. You get a lid, poke a couple holes in the top of the lid to let it vent out. In the summertime, it doesn't take that long to sour. It'll get stinky and it'll smell really bad, but it will attract hogs. And I use it, like I said, you pour it. What you do is you get that juice, that soured corn juice and all the corn. And in the summer, when you pour it on that pig pipe, that juice and that soured corn on top of that pig pipe, the sun actually bakes it into the plastic of the pipe.
Nasty. It is. It'll never wash. You couldn't pressure wash that.
Yes. And so it lasts in a bucket of corn, sour corn will last a very, very long time, And a lot of you may have, you know, powders that you throw out, which are good. I mean, those are good. Those are expensive, but they're good. Or you may have like a syrup squirt that comes in a bottle. Again, those work pretty well, but you're paying, you know, $8 to $10 for a bottle that'll last you just a few, you know, 3 or 4 applications. This one will last you, you know, more than triple that as far as applications. And it costs about $3, $4 to make. So half the price, maybe even more than half the price. But it's a great thing. And I've used it ever since I've been doing it. You know, this recipe was given to me by an old East Texas farmer. So I've used it ever since.
I want to mention something that you said there that I think is key. And I'm going to tell you how I know this is important. It's from user error. Han said put dry deer corn in the pig pipe. Do not pour soured corn in the pig pipe. I can tell you why it doesn't work. Right. Because it gets in there and you've got it in this, you know, I say sealed up. It's got some holes, but it's basically sealed in there for the most part. It's gets super wet and humid and hot in there. That stuff is continuing to cook, and then it just
gums like, it up.
Starts sticking together, coagulating. Yeah, you can't beat it out of there. It's nasty. It won't fall out because it's sticky, and it's expanding as it sours. It's blowing up.
Oh, yeah.
So put dry deer corn in that, not the soured corn.
Right.
And I know that look, you don't have to use the pig pipe. Soured corn works great. It's all we used to do. But what we've got at our place here on my property is we have more deer than ever. And the deer will eat any corn we put out. Yeah. I don't care if you put diesel on it. That's one of the old tricks is pour diesel on it, sour it, do whatever. Our deer will eat it. Yeah. I mean, they'll just stand there until it's gone. And so we've got to do something to keep them from getting in it. And that's where the pig pipes come back in. I mean, Hans has got a deal where we've talked about again before. He goes out there. He's got sandy or soil. He'll just dig a big post hole, pour that corn in there, and that soured corn, make those hogs root for it. And that works great unless you got a bunch of deer. You got a bunch of deer, they're just going to come camp out on top of that and eat it as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
okay. All right. So, we need to move along.
Yeah. We're getting happy with the stories.
We're going to run out of time. Yeah. All right.
But so number three of the life hack, and I'll go ahead and introduce it formally, is Jason wants to talk about the satchel that he carries. So,
now, gosh, this is why you shouldn't be allowed to introduce anything, the satchel. It's a European man purse, thank you.
No, he does not carry a satchel. He carries, this is a manly man's man bag, hunting bag.
That's right. Yeah.
I carry one too, so
it's OD green and it's tactical and it's got Molly attachments
it's got a Velcro Texas flag on it. So there's nothing you know, feminine
That's
about
right.
that.
It's got a, exactly. Okay. So we do need to move along, but I want to talk about this. And I think, this is probably going to be the one where, we maybe spend a little more time, more than the next two. One thing I found is hunting with other guys is very common. And again, guys that don't hunt all the time, or maybe you're newer at it, you go, hey, you know, get out of the truck. You ready to go? Yeah. You got everything? Yeah. You got your rifle? You got your tripod? Yep. You know, you got your magazine? Yeah, we're good to go. And you take off and you go hiking, stalking, walking on the, you know, Ranger or the mule, the side by side, whatever it is. And you get out there and they go, oh man, I forgot XYZ in the truck. Yeah. And it's like, you don't have another one? You don't have a spare? You don't. So a big deal for me, I don't care if I'm, you know, driving all the way up to Hans's place 2 hours and I'm going to spend the night and we're going to go hunting. Well, granted, number one, I'm going to take enough stuff that we could, you know, fight an invasion of the Taliban. And I don't know why. I load up everything I own.
He brings more magazines and ammo than I think we have hogs in the whole county.
I'm optimistic, okay? I've got every kind of bag and rifle case, and I don't know.
Man owns more tactical backpacks than an Army Navy store, I'm pretty sure.
It's true. I'm not going to deny any of that. It's true. So but I do carry a bag with me. I don't care if I'm going to Hans's. I don't care if I'm going over hunting with a buddy, or if I'm walking out literally off my back porch 150-200 yards to shoot a hog down there in my pasture. I am going to carry a bag with me. And I'm not going to go over every single thing in the bag because we are pressed for time, but I'm just going to tell you some of the things that are in there, and they need to be, you need to carry this bag and it needs to be in there for you. Number one, a spare magazine that's loaded. Okay. I can just tell you there's going to be some time that you're going to be glad that you've got that. Mm-hmm. And, it's always something. If you change calibers, you need to be very conscious of that. Okay, if you're shooting a 6.5 Grendel and a 300 Blackout and a 223 or whatever, you need to be conscious of what magazines are in there. So just anyway, be super careful there. Yeah, because you're going to be in the dark when you're down there fumbling around for that magazine. Mm-hmm. I carry a spare magazine. I carry a handheld flashlight. I carry a headlamp. I carry a pair of surgical gloves. Just in case I need to, you know, drag something off or whatever. If I'm gonna clean something, we'll talk about that in a minute. I carry, if it's wintertime, I'm gonna have a pair of, you know, gloves for my hands. I will carry. There's several things. At one point, I would always carry, and I do, I'll keep a spare set of just like the foam earplugs in there. At one point I had some of those really nice little, you know, electronic sound dampening, whatever they're called, Walker game ear deals. I had some of those at one point, but carry those. You know, Hans and I are shooting suppressed when we're in the field. Mm-hmm. We don't wear hearing protection. If I'm on the bench, I will, but you never know. You may be hunting with somebody who doesn't have a suppressor and, you know, you need to be conscious of your ears. But having that basic set of stuff in there is extremely handy. We carry camera gear with us, so we're going to carry a camera in there. Yeah. I'm going to carry spare batteries. So depending on what optic I'm using, it might be using CR123As. I'm always going to have two or three extra batteries, CR123As in there. My flashlight uses those as well. My monocular, I'm going to have that. Usually I will store that in the bag. Right. I know it sounds like you're going, man, that's a lot of stuff. It's not that much. It's, to me, these are the necessities. Every single thing I've mentioned, I'm going to use on a normal basis. Mm-hmm. Not like, this isn't like the thing you got in there that, you know, in the blue moon you might use. And so Hans, I don't know if you carry anything different than that. I know you've got a big bag as well.
Yeah, I carry a big backpack. Everything that you mentioned, I think, is perfect. The only thing that I carry also is, I got one. Man, dropped this whole thing. The Convergent Bullet HP, the hog collar. So yeah. I keep that in my backpack because if I stalk up on a hog and I get out there several hundred yards away, and by the time I get there, they're gone, I'll throw this collar out, and so I can try to call them back into me. Or coyotes, because you can call coyotes with it too. But that's the only thing different that I carry in my backpack. And you know, but everything else that you talked about, flashlights are a big thing, magazines. And I think that that's really good advice, because you're right. Most of the hogs you shoot are right off your back porch, or, you know, you're walking 200 yards off your back porch, but you're still carrying a bag no matter
Absolutely.
What. And I'm the same way. I sometimes carry two bags with me. I've got so much junk with camera equipment and all that kind of stuff.
But. The only other thing that I would advise you put in there, if you're carrying a big enough bag, is a first aid kit. And I've got some really nice smaller first aid kits. They're, you know, I don't know, probably 6 inches by 6 inches and maybe 3 inches thick. Yeah. My small bag, I don't really have room for one of them. I carry them in my bigger bag. I mean, that'd be something that, you know, that's the once in the blue moon. You hope you don't need it, but you'll be glad you do glad you got it if you do need it. But yeah.
So just quick rundown. Yeah. Number one is pig pipe. Number two, sour and corn. Number three, it's carry a bag. Number four is texting game cameras. Man, this has changed everything about the way I hunt the last several years. You know, and I will say the availability of texting game cameras, the affordability, all that has just gotten great. A lot of people ask what cameras I use. I use the SpyPoint game cameras right now. I've got three of those. I've got two of the Moultries. Both are good. The Spy Points are a little less expensive on the monthly plans and on the actual cost of the camera itself. So a Spy Point camera you can get typically on sale quite often for around $100, and it'll cost you about $10 to $15 per month for a subscription to be able to have the camera. What it does, obviously, is takes pictures out in the field when a hog or whenever an animal pops up, and then it sends it to an app on your phone. And so I've got three cameras, so that those three cameras are tied to that SpyPoint app. And man, I tell you, that has helped me kill a bunch of hogs. Not just because I can see it on camera and run over there and shoot one or two really quick, but it helps me pattern the hogs and let me know what's in the area. It saves me a lot of time because I don't have to go and pull cards from cameras and look through hundreds and hundreds of, you know, crow and deer photos, you know, to see when the hogs are coming. But it's that alone is probably one of the biggest things that has led me to be able to shoot a lot of hogs. And I move those cameras around quite often, different properties, different spots, different, you know, bait setups with the pig pipes and the sour and corn. And I know you use texting game cameras. You know, there's a lot of different brands out there that you can use now. But you know, the Spy Points have worked good. They're not very expensive. And you know, if it messes up or breaks, I've had one actually break and the customer service was excellent. So they sent me another one right away, but texting game cameras works good.
Yeah,
if you can do it, I would definitely do it.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I'm using the Spartans. They're expensive. Mm-hmm. I think there's much, you know, less expensive options than that out there now. When I started using these things, they were really popular and they're, you know, pretty fairly priced. I do think there's some more affordable options. I've got a couple of those I really like. But I think what Hans was saying there is very important. If I've got a regular, you know, camera that's taking pictures and putting on an SD card, that means I've got to go all the way out there and I've got to pull that card to see what happened, you know, yesterday, the day before. Mm-hmm. But if I'm sitting at home and I'm going, hey, there's hogs there and it's 11 o'clock at night, and tomorrow night, hey, there's hogs there and it's 10:45 at night. You know, three nights in a row, I know. Yeah. I don't have to go out there to look to see, to guess what I'm going to do tomorrow. Right. I mean, I'm getting that live information. And so it's very, very helpful.
Yeah,
so yeah, definitely. Text and mine actually email it to me, but email, text, and same thing. They've gotten very affordable from what they used to be. And my last bit of advice on that, if you go put one of those things out somewhere, do not put that thing on like 5 seconds, because you will blow your phone up getting text and emails, and it'll just kill you.
Yeah.
You need to set that thing at, you know, I don't know. It depends on what you want, but I'll set them anywhere from a minute to 3 minutes, sometimes five, because all I want to know is that they're there.
Yeah.
I don't care past that. It's not like I'm trying to get a picture of that big buck. Exactly. That's a little bit different.
Exactly. So check out the texting game cameras if you're wanting to pattern hogs and get a good idea and to make your hunts more successful. If you have property that you can put out cameras on, I'd highly and strongly suggest doing so. So the last one. Yeah. This one is for people that don't get to hunt that often, but they want to come down where a lot of people come to Texas. They want to hunt hogs and they want to get some meat, but hog hunting is a very fast paced sport because it is shoot mm-hmm. a bunch of hogs and go on to the next spot. How can people right. quickly get some meat off of a hog, throw it in a cooler, and then get on to the next hunt? And I'm going to leave that to Jason because this man will butcher anything. So
that's right. Okay. So I'm going to try to make this quick because we are out of time. I'm going to explain this the best way I can. If you're wanting to just get some meat, get some of the best meat and get it quick. This is not dragging the thing back up, putting it on the side by side, hauling it back to the barn, you know, hanging it up and skinning it out and butchering it. Okay. That's a real butchering job. You can butcher that just like a deer. You don't need me to tell you how to do that for the most part. But what this is the down and dirty way to do it in the field. And all you need is a really sharp knife. I advise some rubber gloves because you're probably not going to have anything to wash your hands with, and a big Ziploc bag, a couple big Ziplocs, or, you know, if you got a cooler, you're going to need a cooler ASAP, but a cooler. What I do is this, and I normally will do this on smaller hogs, okay? Anywhere from, you know, 30, 40 pounds or less. You can do it on bigger hogs. It's the same principle. I'm going to tell you this quickly. You need a good sharp knife to do this. Roll that hog back up where it is, laying down, but on its feet. So it is in the normal mm-hmm. position of a standing hog. Yep. Take your knife and go right down the top of that backbone and just slit that skin going right down the backbone. All right. And you'd actually be surprised with a sharp knife, that skin should slit much easier than you think that it would. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you get that, once you get that knife underneath there, if you've got a knife with a gut hook, that works great. As long as it's good and sharp, you can get it in there. And you're going to go right down all the way from the tail all the way up to the top of its shoulder. Then you want to go up there to the shoulder blades and, you know, take where you've got that slit and you want to cut down towards the ground. Just go about, 6 inches or so. Then you can do kind of the same thing on the rear end. So now what you've done is you can start pulling that skin back. This is not hard to do with this hog laying on the ground. The skin actually peels off of this, back part really easy. And you'll just peel that back. And you don't have to go all the way down the ribs or anything. All you're trying to do is expose that back strap. Mm-hmm. And it's just laying right there. And if you know how to butcher a deer, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. And once that back strap is exposed, you can cut that thing out in a New York minute. Yeah. And I'm not going to tell you how to do it. You know how to cut a back strap. Super simple, super easy. Do the same thing on the other side. All you're trying to do is just get yourself that much room to work with where you've just rolled that skin back and you cut that back strap out. All right, that's super easy. Yeah. Now, if you want a little more meat, what I do is I will go back now. That hog is, I've already got my slit. I've already gone down to the tail. And I will just take and I will start cutting that. I'll just kind of take that knife and follow that ham down on the front side of its leg, pulling that skin back. And I'll kind of, pull it off. Then I'll go the same thing there on that hind rump. And I'll cut that skin back. And now this is butchering. Mm. This is not for pretty. This is not, but I can get in there and I can get 3/4 of that rump roast, that ham off, just down and dirty, cutting it while that hog is laying there on the ground. Mm. And then once you get this first side done, it doesn't matter anymore. You flip him over and you can peel that back and do the other side. I know it sounds difficult. But remember, this is all you're trying to do is get something so that you if you don't want to waste it, you're getting that something. If you want a perfect ham coming off here or you want this thing quartered, take him back to the house, hang him up, do that. But this is a down and dirty, quick way that I've done many times laying there mm-hmm. in the field. And I'm talking about you can do this in, once you've done it a couple times, you can do it in 3 to 5 minutes, no problem.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you one last thing. You want to know how to really do this? Go to YouTube and search for hog zombies. Hog zombies. That is our good buddy, Glenn Guess. And Glenn has a video, and I'm going to find this here. I got it right here. I'm going to tell you the name of it. I had pulled it up a while ago. How to dress a hog in 10 minutes or less. And I'm pretty sure this is the video. Glenn goes out there. I hope this is the video. Glenn goes out and he shows you how to literally dress this thing, leaving the skin on, which is this phenomenal thing. I've never seen anybody do this. Glenn makes this look like child's play. He has obviously done it hundreds and hundreds of times, and it is a great video if you want to know how to do this and get more of the meat while in the field, you know, taking it with you without having to haul the whole hog in.
I'm going to check that out. I haven't seen it yet.
It's a cool video. Yeah. I actually found that video. It's like 4 or 5 years old. I think I found that before we'd even become friends with Glenn. And it is a really, really cool video. So go check that out. Hey, since we're talking about YouTube, I want to give one more
I was about to say, we forgot, and he's gonna hate us for it, but we forgot.
No, it was on my list. It was on my list. So I want to give another shout out here before we're done. Chester Cup. He is a retired U.S. Army colonel. He is pro staff for Outdoor Legacy. He and his son, Douglas Graham, they are over in Georgia, and these guys are some of the most serious hog and coyote hunters that I know. And they do, Doug and Chester do a lot of work for us, helping us do reviews of scopes. Chester does written reviews. So anytime you go over to the blog section at outdoorlegacygear.com, there's a lot of blogs there that are very well-written reviews. Those are all by Chester. He does an amazing job on those. But he's also started a YouTube channel. He started making some videos, doing some reviews of some optics, as well as kind of going over what some of the new optics for, you know, right now are. Like, hey, here's the new scopes or here's the new monoculars. Some really cool videos. Mm-hmm. I would highly advise you go check those out. And all you got to do is go to YouTube and search for Chester Cup, C-U-P-P. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's a cool channel. Yeah. Subscribe to it. He's a great guy. He's got a wealth of knowledge, and they're the real deal. Him and Doug do a lot of hunting. They're out shooting all the time. They're reloaders. They build rifles. These guys are great guys. So go check out Chester's channel there. You can also go to he's got his own blog called theolddeerhunters.com. It's a great blog, a bunch of reviews and things he's done there. So check them out. We'll give them another shout out. You know, earlier in the show, I told him I was going to do it, and it was on my list here, so I wasn't going to forget. But go check him out and subscribe to his YouTube channel. I think they'll find some good content there.
And while you're subscribing to that YouTube channel, go over to Outdoor Legacy Gear on YouTube. Subscribe to them, Mr. Jason Robertson, the owner of Outdoor Legacy Gear. If you're interested in any night vision or thermal optics, as always, please call Outdoor Legacy at 877-350-1818. You can find the website at outdoorlegacygear.com, and we would love to earn your business in taking the confusion out of night vision and thermal optics. You can find Outdoor Legacy on Facebook and also on Instagram at Outdoor Legacy Gear. And you can find me over on YouTube, as I've mentioned previously, Hans ETX, that's H-A-N-S ETX, 130 something videos. I just completed a full review of the IRA Rico 384. I'm about to put out a full review of the both of the Rattler, AGM Rattler TS25 and TS35. So you can check that out very soon. And you can also find me on Instagram at Hans ETX.
All right, folks. We appreciate y'all coming out and watching and listening this week. Please subscribe to our channel. And for those that don't know, when we say subscribe, it just means go to YouTube, click the little subscribe button so you get notifications. It doesn't cost you anything. No membership fees, no dues. You don't have to send us a nickel or a dollar or anything like that. Just subscribe so you don't miss a video. You can always go to thelatenightvisionshow.com to find all the information about the show in the past episodes. Hope you will come back next week. We hope to see y'all then. But between now and then, y'all stay safe in the fields and keep making those bacon pancakes.